talk this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll look at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. I want to talk about the deadly sins of the modern church today. The deadly sins of the modern church today. There's seven deadly sins of the modern church today. 17 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and it will, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And Lord, we ask, one, that you just forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, and Lord, that we open our hearts to your word today, that you may convict us. If there's someone here that's lost, do not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that today might be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for the church today. Lord, that you will bless it. And Lord, let us recommit our lives to trust you in everything that we do, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Solomon gave us a list over in Proverbs chapter 6, and here's what he says. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that are will shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Now God says, these things do I hate. And when I read these things, and I read about the things that are going on in our world today, in our churches today, I kind of feel like the guys that, I told this a few years back, let me get it straight in my mind before I tell it again, because my mind comes and goes. Kind of like David and Dan out playing golf. Y'all know those two? They're real characters. Well, Dan hit his golf ball and it landed in a fire ant bed. And he likes to play it where it lies, you can ask him. Right in the middle of that fire ant bed, he took a big swing and wiped out half of those fire ants. Ball's still sitting there. He said, "Let me try that again." He hauls off and takes another big swing at it, wipes out the other half of that fire ant bed. Ball's still sitting there. And then two ants say, "Joe, if we're going to survive this mess, we better get on the ball." I think that's the way it is in our churches today. Folks, if we're going to survive the mess that we have in our churches today and in our society today, and I don't want to preach doom and gloom, but I look around at what's going on all over the world and here in America in our Christian churches, and I think if we don't get on the ball, we're not going to survive. The Bible says in these verses, God's judgment is approaching. It's coming. And it comes not to condemn, but to refine and purify us like gold. And because judgment is coming, friends, we better get some things in order in our churches. We better get things in order in our lives. Someone said this morning, I believe it was in our Sunday school class, someone said that a lady didn't have long to live, and the doctor says, "You need to go home and get your house in order." And she said, "My house is in order. I settled that years ago." And friends, let me tell you something. Get your life in order. And it starts with getting your life right with God today. Getting your life in Christ. Those who are out of Christ, You're in a terrible mess. You need to get in Christ. You need to find salvation. You need to let God come into your life and change your life. But so many times we refuse to listen to the preachers or listen to the Word of God or listen to someone that's witnessing to us until it's too late. You see, I heard once and read an article that the captain of the Titanic didn't realize he was in trouble until the boat already, he was already ankle deep in water. And it was too late to act then. You know what? The church has been ankle deep in water for some time now, and we need to understand and acknowledge we need to get God back in our lives and back in our churches. What are the seven deadly sins, I believe, of the modern day church? Well, if you look at today's churches, what I find, one sin we find is worship without reverence. Listen to what the Bible says in John 4:23. The hour cometh and is now when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh those who will worship Him. What we've done today in an effort to reach the young people, in an effort to reach all the people that we can, we have discarded the old hymns and the old message and diluted it so that we can modern day it, and it does not work, you see. We have hand-clapping, toe-tapping music, finger-snapping music, but we've traded the word or the truth for therapy. And that does not work in our lives. One minister said that, "Preacher, well, I don't preach on sin anymore because it's a negative thought." What do you preach on if you don't preach on sin? Folks, the Bible talks about sin. We need to get sin out of our lives. Sin is what's causing our problem today. And friend, let me tell you something. I like the hand-clapping, toe-tapping music as much as anybody. I just got back from Branson with about 9 or 10 of our church members. Let me tell you, Baptists can dance. I won't say any more. It makes us feel good today to come in and hear the music. But music is to teach. Music is to admonish us. And we need to pay more attention to the words than we do the tunes. In preaching, we need to spend time listening to the word. You know what? I turn on the television sometimes and I hear a preacher preach. And you know what I hear? I hear people preach, instead of preaching a message, it's more like getting a massage. You see? It makes you feel all warm and comfy on the inside. It doesn't tell you how to live. It just tells you how to go out there and feel good, make yourself feel good. But preaching opens our eyes. Preaching lets us know that our hearts towards God need to be pure. We don't like that anymore. We don't like knowing that we are sinners. But let me tell you something. When King Uzziah died, Isaiah was in the temple, and he saw what? He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Bible says his train filled the temple, and the angels were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Our God is a holy God, and he wants us to live pure lives. He wants us to live lives giving ourselves to him, not just going through making us feel good. You see, as he saw the holiness of God, guess what? He became aware of his sinfulness. I don't know about you, but the closer you get to God, the more you see yourself as you really are. And oh, he saw himself as a person unclean. He saw himself as a person undone. And he said, "Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." It sounds like our day. And oh, I look at myself and I say, "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips many times. I live amongst a people of unclean lips." Worship is when you see the sinfulness in your life and you turn around from that sinfulness and start seeing how holy God is and what He wants you to do in His life. Anything else is not worship. Worship without reverence. I believe that's one of the major sins of the modern day church. And it is a deadly sin that's leading us down the wrong path. Well, I see also forgiveness without repentance. Man, today we just want everybody to come down the aisle. I think sometimes more churches are more interested in getting numbers there than they are members that are right. You see, we're more interested in numbers today. All you have to do is just believe. It doesn't matter exactly what you believe. Just believe, and let's be baptized, and we can say we have 100 baptisms. Folks, let me tell you something. Baptizing like that never saved anybody. Believing like that never saved anybody. Jesus warns us about the cost of real discipleship. And He says, listen, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. We don't like that word deny, do we? No, we want to feed ourselves everything. We want to do everything. We want to go everywhere. We want to skip God's message altogether. But it says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Follow Me, He says. For whosoever shall lose his life for My sake, the same shall find it. I heard this many years ago. And it says the church today. You know, the church is kind of like Noah's Ark. If it wasn't for the storm on the outside, we couldn't stand the stench on the inside. Folks, that's the modern day church. God's grace is offered to each and every person in here today and those outside. But let me tell you something. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. Don't you think all you have to do is come and be baptized or come and join a church and then go your way and have a good time? The cost of discipleship costs greatly. You look at the Bible tells us about Jesus' early disciples, the martyrs of the early times. They gave their all for Christ. We're fixing to be talking about Lottie Moon before long, and we probably should have had something this morning, but time doesn't allow us to do everything we want to do. But let me tell you something. It cost Lottie her life to be a missionary for Christ. But she was willing to give it. And she set a standard out there for our missionaries. And it ought to be a standard for every church that we ought to give back to God part of our offerings that we might reach the world for Christ before it's too late. God's grace is offered to you today, but it's not cheap. The Bible says you must repent. That's what people do not like to hear. Repent means today you're headed towards the devil. You're headed towards a devil's hell. You need to turn your life around and turn it back towards Christ. Give your all to Christ. It costs something. It doesn't say you just go and accept Jesus Christ and keep on going. No, you make a U-turn. You go the other way. You go towards Christ. You get on the narrow road. The road that leads to life is a life of discipleship. It's a life of learning. It's a life of reverence towards God. Repent is what they said. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Forgiveness without repentance cheapens God's grace. And that's not what it counts, man. We need to realize it costs something to serve Christ. I don't know about you, but when I made a commitment to God, I said, Lord, here's my life. You take it and use it any way you see fit. And for 30 years now, He's been using my life. It costs something, yes. It costs something, but I wouldn't trade not one day, not one hour, or not one second of my life for what God has done in my life. Yes, it costs. But oh, it's such a good feeling to know that each day I'm going to get up and I've got a Savior who loves me, a Savior who walks with me, and a Savior who's listening to me when I cry. We need that, friends. And the church today needs to understand if we're ever going to survive, we've got to realize that one, worship with reverence, and then two, forgiveness and repent. Turn our lives around. And then the third thing, death of the modern church, I believe, is evangelism without discipleship. Some people say we're just out there trying to grow our church. But you know what? I believe that every person that comes in these doors, every person that is a born again here in this church, gives their name to Christ, we ought to disciple them. We ought to teach them. I thank God for Brother Tony as he's teaching our youth over there all about the Bible. I was listening to Brother Bill as he taught these children about Noah and the ark. And what he's doing is he's just starting in Genesis telling the story of the Bible. And I was thinking while he was telling them that, you know, that may be the only time these children hear the Word of God. And it may be the only time some of you adults hear the Word of God in this story that he tells. It's so simple that these children can understand it, but it's so interesting that, you know, I sit there and I listen to every word he says. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, Noah was committed to you. Let us be that committed in our life. Evangelism is the heartbeat, but we fill our churches with empty people. We tell them just to come, just to be here, and all as long as you give a, you know, I don't want to get on this again, but I can't understand why churches are dropping Sunday night service. I can't understand why people are dropping Wednesday night services. Friends, we don't go to church enough as it is. We're giving into the world today. Somebody said, are you going to give up Wednesday night service? Are you going to give up Sunday night service? Not as long as I'm pastor here. I will be here preaching the Word of God if it's just me and Brother Bill. Or me and Miss Rhonda. You see, we need it. I don't know about you, but Wednesday night, I come and I get my battery charged. You know, I don't know if I could make it through the week without giving an hour or so to God on Wednesday night. Man, we also teach our young people how to behave. I went somewhere the other day and somebody came in with a hat on in church and nobody ever told them to take it off. Afraid we'll make them mad. So what? They need to understand when you're in God's house, you enter it in reverence. Man, we stand and salute the flag because that's something that's meaningful to us. And, you know, this church is meaningful to me. It's God's sanctuary. Let's praise Him in His sanctuary. And let's do what's right. I don't like it when somebody comes in with a cup of coffee into the sanctuary. I don't like it when I see people sitting there eating chips and candy in the sanctuary. It's just not right. You see, some things we need to set a standard on, and it's God's place that we can come in here. Oh, I know it's just a building, but it's a time that we can worship God. And we can't worship God sitting there drinking a Diet Coke and a bag of chips. You see, if you're that hungry, go get you something to eat. Man, you can't wait till 12 o'clock. Something else that bothers me, adults, is you walking out while we're giving the invitation. Man, I tell you what. Can't you wait 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes? You know, it ain't really not that long. You've got to go to the bathroom. Oh, I know. I understand. Some of us have problems. I'm getting that age myself. I don't mind that, but some of you don't go. Some of you go out the back door. You know why? Your mind is on. I got to get to the restaurant before everybody else gets there. Did you come to worship God or did you come to think about eating? You see, we do all of these things. Evangelism without discipleship. We need to know how to behave in our churches. Evangelism is not only a part of missions that we do, it's to teach our new converts how to observe all things, he says. Somebody said we ought to have a class designed for young ladies to tell them where to wear longer dresses, you know. I think that's right too. I think sometimes our adult women need to learn to dress a little more appropriately. While I'm just trumping on everybody, I might as well go ahead. Amen. But you need to hear these things. You need to understand these things. These things I was taught when I was young. You know, I grew up where if you didn't behave and you started playing a game in church or whatever, you know, we didn't have these phones now. You can play all kinds of games. And I see some of them are reading their Bible along with me. Some of them are playing games. You know, we played games in the hymnals. But you know what? When I walked out that back door, I was headed to the house. And if my daddy didn't say anything, I knew where I was heading after that. Boy, when he was silent, the belt came off, and you can call it child abuse, but I tell you one thing, he didn't spare the rod, and he didn't spoil the child either. And let me tell you something. I love him to this day because he taught us some things that we need to teach today. You know? I mean, I could go on that forever, but I won't. Evangelism without discipleship is a sin against God. Then affluence. Man, we're affluent, aren't we, today? Without sacrifice. Someone said, no longer can we say silver and gold have I none, but neither can we say arise and walk. We don't have that. Our prosperity today in the modern day church has impoverished us so bad. We're like the Laodicean church today, if you know what I'm talking about. We are proud. We're self-sufficient. We don't need God. We're independent. He says, when I say I'm rich and have need of nothing, God says, you are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Affluence. The New Testament doesn't teach tithing, people tell me all the time. Well, it teaches total surrender. That means everything belongs to God. Now, you want to give everything or you want to give 10%? I'll let you deal with that one. And then faith without works. Faith without works is a sin against God. Such a faith, the Bible says, is dead. And there is a lot of deadness in our churches today. Revelation 3:1 says, the church at Sardis, we have a name that we live, but Jesus says, you're dead. You are at ease in Zion. Man, you know what? Someone said, if it wasn't for the turkeys that I work with, I would soar like eagle. We have more people today in our churches that are just snoozing through life than they are soaring through life. And most, the Bible says we ought to rise up with wings like eagles. We ought to be something special in our church. We ought to do things special for God in our church. When a church loses that vision, when a church loses that hope in Christ, when they lose their joy of just coming, when they lose the expectancy. I don't know about you, but when you come to church, you ought to expect something great to happen. Not to everybody else, but in your life, it ought to happen. You ought to be enthusiastic in your church. Someone said on Friday, those disciples were standing there looking at Jesus Christ. He had been hung on the cross. They all looked. They were hopeless. They were helpless. But then came Easter. Then came Sunday morning. And it was the end of their helplessness. It was the end of their hopelessness. Because they knew God had arisen. And He is alive today. And let me tell you, only God can redeem. He buys us back. There is no situation that He can't work out and bring good out of. But a church without hope, a church without faith, a church without enthusiasm has a false reputation, doesn't it? For the Bible says we ought to be alive. We ought to be jumping with joy here. We ought to have Christ in the center of our lives. We ought to be wanting to do things. You know, I love it when somebody gets saved. They're so enthusiastic. We have somebody getting saved, boy, and first thing they do is say, "Preacher, how can I help you?" And they're doing this and they're doing that. I said, "I just wish some of your enthusiasm would rub off on somebody else. For after we've been saved a little while, we just cool off, kind of. We don't go to church like we used to." You see? We have that honeymoon stage where we're working in the church, we're giving to the church, we're doing in the church, and about 6 months we feel like, well, nobody else is. Why don't I just join them? Makes you think, doesn't it? Organization without unity. We are the most organized group of people they are. We belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. Folks, I think the Southern Baptist Convention is the greatest convention this side of glory. I tell you what, I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist. I'm proud because we give towards missions. We're organized. We're having our Lottie Moon offering this month. We'll come to that. We're the most organized group of people. Anytime you get three Baptists together, you can elect officers. That's right. But let me tell you something. We're also out of unity. We're also out of step sometimes. We're supposed to be a family. Our churches are not family-oriented anymore. We're supposed to be God's child. He's our Father. We're His children. Let me tell you something. I believe that everyone in here is my brother and sister in Christ. I treat my brother and I treat my sister with respect. I'm not going to talk about them, even though sometimes we don't agree. I've got a sister and I've got a brother. Sometimes we just don't see eye to eye. But I still love them, and I will do for them, and I will help them any way I can. That's the way I feel about you. I do not agree with everything you do. You don't agree with everything I do. But in a moment, in a heartbeat, I'll be at your door to help you in anything you've got to do. Because I love you. And I know by the way you have reacted over the last 30 years, every time I've got a problem in my life, I've got men, these men, most of them, and these ladies. Is there anything we can help you with, preacher? I never will forget. I needed help. I was sick. I had a kidney stone. I was laying in bed, running fever. 7 o'clock in the morning, I needed rest, and Bob Justice was mowing my yard. I love him to death, and I thank you for mowing that yard, Bob. Nobody had to force him to do that. He just did it because he loved the preacher. Now, I wish you'd have done it about 10 o'clock, but... but I love him to death. That man and all of these men down here, not just that man, these men... they're not only good soldiers and fought for their country, every single one of them will help you in a heartbeat. That's the type of men they are. And their wives are just the same way. We have a family here in this church. We are a family. Not because we always agree, but because we walk in unity. And God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the head of this church. This is not my church. I don't like people to say, that's your church up there, isn't it? No, it's God's church. And it belongs to God's people. You see? And it's given to God. And folks, this morning, you have a choice. You can become one of God's children, if you'll just accept Him. Let me ask you something. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You need to know that. Are you committed to Christ? Have you given your life to Him? Organization without unity, that's a sin. Privilege without responsibility is also a sin. We have privileges in the Christian life. You know, somebody said the other day that said to me, would you pray for me, preacher? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll go to God in prayer for you, but you know what? You can go to Him in prayer too. He will listen to you. You know, the doctrine of the priesthood of the believer simply states that I can go directly to God with my prayer and confess my sins daily. He will hear me. But as a priest, it also means that He's a bridge builder. He bridged the gap for us that we might come to Christ. And we have a responsibility in this church. If you're a member of it, you have a responsibility, and it's your privilege to bring someone else to Christ. It's your responsibility to lift up our brothers that are hurting in prayer. It's called intercessory prayer. We've got that responsibility. And no, it's not the preacher's job to witness. It's everybody's job to witness. You have a responsibility to get out there and share the message of Christ with somebody. And it's also a responsibility of your life, if you are a born-again believer, to live a godly life. If something looks like it's ungodly, don't do it. Don't do it. Just get away from it. Bring men to God so that they can know Him. It's wrong to claim the privileges of the priesthood without accepting the responsibility of God's Word. Seven deadly sins of the modern church: worship without reverence, forgiveness without repentance, evangelism without discipleship, affluence without sacrifice, faith without works, organization without unity, and privilege without responsibility. We meet here every Sunday to worship God, and we should worship God, and we should walk in unity, we should walk reverently, we should walk with pure lives. Like Brother Bill said, when God looked down, He saw one man, Noah, that was faithful. If God looked down today, and He does look down, will He find you faithful? Will He find you faithful? One day, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God, He will return. Will you be ready? Will you be ready when He returns? Listen, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you all you have to do is believe and be baptized. No, it's believe and turn. It's believe and walk with Him. Get your life right. Yes, the Christian life is hard. It's hard. It's hard. But oh, it's so rewarding. And one day when you face God and you're there before Him, He will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Here's the way we go this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come? What are you coming to? You're coming by faith, believing, putting your trust in Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for your sins. You have sin in your life. You need to confess it. You need to turn around. You need to start living for Him. If you're willing to do that, you're tired of the mess you're in, you're tired of the way you're living, and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to live a life that's holy, you want to live a life that's pure, then you can come to Him this morning and say, "Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I want You to come into my life." He will come into your life. You can turn your life around and let Him work through you to overcome those problems and troubles. Free you from all the bondage and the weight of sin that's in your life today. You say, "What do I have to do?" All you have to do is trust Christ. Let Him do the rest. Okay? If you're here this morning and you're a born-again believer, and yet you've been caught in these seven deadly sins. You've been coming to worship without reverence. Forgiveness without repentance. All of those things. Would you come and kneel at the altar and say, "Lord, today I want to change my life. I want to start living it like I should. Lord, I confess I have sinned. I've fallen short. I want You to pick me up this morning and put me back on the solid rock. Get me back on the road that I need to be on." He will do that. If you're serious, if you mean it, He'll do that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're visiting with us, and you're looking for a church home. Let me tell you something. You won't find a better church home than this one right here. I tell you, this is a good church. Not because I'm pastor, but because God is alive in this church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit that moves among us. Lord, I especially thank You for everything You've done for me and my family. And Lord, today, if there's someone here without Christ, someone here that needs to make a decision, Lord, let them make it before it's too late. We give You praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.